one dark night down in Egypt, a fearful time had come for one Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. The angel of death would be passing by. It was hard to fall asleep. But one little lamb stood in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the young lamb had died, why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain, would it still remain? He wanted to be sure. So he called out to his father with a trembling voice, so scared, crying, "Father, please, will you look and see if the blood is still there?" And he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow and the rains may fall, but it just won't wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Stay secure, you can rest assured. The blood is still there." Looking over all the damage that the storm had left behind, there were endless questions, and doubt had filled my mind. The fear that gripped my troubled soul brought me to my knees in prayer, crying, "Father, please, will you look and see if the blood is still there?" And he said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow and the rain may fall, but it just won't wash away. Stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Safe, secure, you can rest assured the blood. If you would this morning, take your Bibles and go to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. How many of you have passages of Scripture that you go to often because you know when you go there, God is going to strengthen and encourage you? How many of you have passages of Scripture like that? I have many. And I hope to encourage you with one this morning. Psalm 142. Is a portion of Scripture that's been ministering to me for many, many years. And it ministers to me again today, and I pray by God's grace it'll minister to you. And we find David, King David, in a time of great struggle, a time of great concern and emptiness, fear. We find King David writing about when he was running for his life. At this stage in his life, he wasn't king at all. As a matter of fact, he was David who had killed Goliath, David who had begun to progress his way in the king's house, David who had married the king's daughter, David who had become the father of the king, King Saul's grandchildren, David who had won many at this time, many victories. But the green monster of rage and envy had shown itself in King Saul's heart, and one day it had all come to a head, and King Saul had taken a spear and done all he could
to pin David to the wall. He wanted David dead. It seemed like for years and years that this chant of the women had tortured and terrorized King Saul. The women, after David had slain Goliath, sang, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And Saul was out to take David's life. And David's heartbroken because he loved his king. David is heartbroken because his life, the things that in his life that were so important to him, including fulfilling God's will in his life to become the king of Israel, all of his plans had come shattered down. And David, running for his life, finds himself backed up in the corner of a cold, dark cave. The Bible calls it the cave of Adullam. And in that cold, dark cave, the words of this psalm, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, come to his mind. And he finds a way, in the darkest of times, to encourage himself, not in his circumstances, but in his Savior and in his Lord. Jehovah God became the focus of his attention. And we watch David in this psalm go from cold, alone, scared, backed up in a cold, dark cave, to rejoicing, knowing that God was in control and God loved him and God could be trusted. And I want you to know something. In every one of our lives, there are times when we get very low. There are times when we get very broken, often discouraged. Though we can't control our circumstances, we can direct our confidence to God Almighty. Can I tell you something this morning? God is faithful. And He can be trusted. And David gives us some wonderful insight as to what we need and where we can turn in our times of great distress. Look with me in Psalm 142, 7 verses. We'll read it all together, then we'll study the Scripture together. The Bible says in Psalm 142, beginning verse number 1, it says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me." I want to draw your attention to the verse 4. The last phrase, we get the title of our message this morning. The Bible says, "No man cared for my soul." No man cared for my soul. Those seem like words of desperation, do they not? But I want you to know something. It is often and frequent in the lives of people just like you and I that it almost seems like no man cared for my soul. Heartbroken. I tell you what, I love being a pastor. But part of being a pastor is you get to bear and carry so many burdens with people. And I enjoy it. I don't enjoy the burdens, but I enjoy what God's given me to do. And when I think about the burdens and the heartache and the struggles that people that I love are going through, then I have this great confidence that God is in control and He can be trusted. No man cared for my soul. Have you found yourself here this morning? You may be struggling at home. You may be struggling at work. You may be struggling financially. You may be struggling with family issues. The list can go on and on and on. But you feel like you're all alone. And you're crying out with David, "No man cared for my soul." David himself, in a time of great despair, gives us great hope. Three simple things as we study this portion of Scripture. Number one, David said, "When no man cared for my soul, God heard my prayer." Look how he starts this psalm, verse number one. The Bible says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble." How did he begin? His time of great grief and struggle, he began by calling on the Lord. You know, prayer should be our first line of defense. But unfortunately, so many Christians use it as a last resort. It seems like everything comes crashing down, then we have to call to the Lord. God's people ought to make it a practice to consistently call on the Lord. We ought to pray. Prayer is an integral part of our lives. We were studying in Sunday school this morning, the New Testament church. And the New Testament church, they joined themselves together. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. The Bible says that they prayed together. God's people ought to make prayer, a very integral part of their lives. David said, "I've cried unto the Lord." He said, "I'm backed up in a cold, dark cave, and I have nowhere to turn." He says, "I'm crying to the Lord." I want you to know something. When you're backed up in a cold, dark cave, and your life seems like it's at the end, you have all the hope in the world because you can call on the Lord. Do you know that you can call on the Lord? "I'll never be alone. I don't know what life holds, but I know this. I'll never be alone because God is ever present." The Bible says He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. He can be trusted, and I can call on Him. I'm so thankful for prayer. Why do we pray? Some people have the idea that we pray to inform God. You can't tell God anything He doesn't know. Some people think we pray to impress God. God is not going to be impressed by any of our works. You know what our works are to a righteous God? People don't like to hear this. But it's so true. The best I have to offer, the Bible says, that my righteousness, mine and yours, is as filthy rags. Your greatest attempt to please God in your flesh will not avail anything. So we don't pray to inform God. We don't pray to impress God. You know what we pray? Why we pray? We pray to invite God. We invite God. We invite Him to lead and direct in our past. We invite God to protect us. We invite God to encourage us. We invite God to help us. And God's people need to make a habit of letting God have His proper place in our lives. And prayer takes us there. Why do we pray? We pray to invite the Lord to have His will and way in our lives. I want you to know something. If you put your confidence in the Lord, you will not hate Him when things don't turn out the way you want them to. If you put your confidence in the Lord, you will not despise your situation, but you will praise your God. The miracle of the Christian life is not that we get saved and get right with God and everything becomes wonderful. The prosperity gospel is a lie. If you ever hear a preacher say, "I'm going to get you send $5 in, and I promise you God will bless that seed and it will multiply," he's a liar. Because I know a lot of great people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him faithfully who are going through deep waters. Going through deep waters. And it's not because they've lost their faith. It's because God wants to teach us and guide us and help us. I want you to know something. If you'll put God first and pray, He'll change you. You need to invite God to have His will and way in your life. to dictate to you the circumstances of your life the way they need to be. We serve a faithful God. You know what David said? He said, I may be over here backed up in a cold, dark cave, and I may have left everything that I love, and my heart may be broken, and I've lost something very dear to me. He said, but I know something. When it seems like no man cares for my soul, I can call on the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? I'm so thankful I can call on the Lord. He'll help you. Invite Him to. David said, when no man cared for my soul, God heard my prayer. Number two. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. David continues. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I love this little phrase. First of all, verse 3, look at it. It says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Have you ever had that feeling? If you've ever had that feeling, would you nod? I'm a little overwhelmed. Of course. David said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. What makes us overwhelmed? It's when things aren't going the way we thought they should. How many of you have ever had days when things just weren't going the way you thought they should? Would you nod your head? Of course. What makes us overwhelmed? It's when the circumstances of life do not add up to the sum that we had hoped for. And David said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou knewest my path. I want you to think with me. Put yourself in David's shoes for just a minute. As a little boy, David, not a very little boy, but as a teenage boy, I'd imagine, somewhere in that vicinity, the smallest of all of his brothers was out in the shepherd's field watching the sheep while Samuel, the prophet, comes to his house. Samuel goes to the house of his father Jesse. There at the house of his father Jesse, the sons of Jesse, beginning with the oldest and the biggest and the strongest, in progression make their way into the presence of the prophet Samuel. They go to every one. The first one, the second one, the third one, and I'm not sure how many there were, but they all went except for one son. And when the last son that was present came before Samuel, the prophet Samuel says to Jesse, something's not right. God has not made it clear to me that the next king of Israel is here. And I know he's one of your sons. Jesse says, well, there is the shepherd boy. Samuel says, call for him. They call for David. David comes into the presence of the prophet. The prophet is immediately smitten by God and told, this is him. The prophet anoints his head with oil and declares him the next king of Israel. I can imagine being David. Woohoo! I'm going to be the king. Kicking his heels and going back to the shepherd's field, talking to the sheep. I'm going to be the king. But David had no idea how long it's going to be. I can imagine getting anointed with oil and thinking, where do I sign? When do I get my crown? When do I get my castle? When do I get my armies and people? I want one of them real cool swords too, by the way. David, it didn't work out like that. As a matter of fact, David goes back to the shepherd's field and serves his father a little bit longer. Eventually, Saul has an evil spirit, and Saul goes, someone says, well, there's a shepherd boy, his name's David. He's cunning on a harp. They said, well, call for him. David goes into the presence of the king, and he plays his harp. God uses that to comfort the heart of Saul. Can you imagine the heart and the mind of a little boy, a young man, going into the king's palace, knowing that God had said and had anointed his head with oil and said, you're going to be the next king. Here I go. I'm going to play this harp all the way to the throne. You know what? It wasn't long until he sent back home. Missed it again. One day his dad says, go check on your brothers. They're fighting the Philistines down there. Those dirty, rotten, good-for-nothing, low-down Philistines. Go check on your brothers. Take your brothers and King Saul some food. And David goes there and he hears the Goliath, the giant defying the name of his God. God inspires David, a young man. God inspires him and says, you can take care of this. He says, as a matter of fact, I think you can take care of his four sons too. And David goes down to a brook and gets five smooth stones. And he says, God is going to give me victory. If you ever wonder why there's five stones? I say this often because it's so fascinating to me. If you study your Bible, you find out that Goliath the giant had four sons. And David went to that brook thinking, once I kill his daddy, them four big boys is coming after me too. And God's going to have give me the strength to have victory over all five of them. He goes to that battlefield, to that cursing giant. And he faces him and wins the victory. Great day. A great day in the life of David. God had proved himself again. Finally, he's on his way to the king's house. As a matter of fact, Saul, out of obligation, gives his daughter to be David's wife. Saul, out of obligation, makes him a leader. Before you know it, David is on his way with a heart full of respect for King Saul. He's best friends with the king's son, Jonathan. And he's on his way to the throne. Can you imagine his heart? I'm going to serve my king faithfully. And before long, I'm going to fulfill God's will and I'll be the king of Israel as God has promised me. Everything's coming together. All the pieces of the puzzle are lining up. It's going to be wonderful. What happens? King Saul tries to pin him to the wall with a spear. And David, in fear for his life, leaves his wife, his children, his men, his future, his best friend, and the plan that he had for his own life. And he's hiding out in a cold, dark cave. You see, all of David's plans, once again, came crashing down. I want you to see the insight and the spiritual discernment of David when he wrote this psalm. As he's thinking about the path of life and the crazy turns and kinks and kickbacks and struggles. Look at it. What does he say? When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Do you know what he said? I know it's crazy and it's weird and it's strange and it's not the way I would have planned it. But he said something that's very, very profound. He said, I know something about God, and God knows my path. Can I tell you something? Your plans may have not worked out the way you wanted them to, but God knows your path. He knows what He's doing. In love and compassion and mercy and grace, God Himself is guiding you when you are willing to let Him. And the bumps and hiccups of life are nothing else than the wonderful, loving plan of our God and Savior. And I want you to know something. You can be encouraged in this great truth. God knows your path. He knows why you're here. He knows what He's doing. And He can be trusted. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Our great disappointments are appointments made by a loving God. And we know that all things work together for good to them are the called according to His purpose. Can God be trusted this morning? Yes. Guess what? When you feel in your heart that no man cares for your soul, there's two things you can be sure of. God knows. God hears my prayer. And number two, God knows my path. You can trust the Lord with your life. And He's got a great purpose. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Him. David said that's not it. The Bible says in verse number 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Finally, God was his place and his portion. You know what David was thinking about now? David was in this cold, dark cave thinking, where am I going to live? I have no place to live. I am literally homeless, and there's nothing I can do about it. Then he got to thinking a little bit more. He said, to make matters worse, not only do I not have a place to live, but I don't have anything to eat. Whereas before I was at the king's house and eating at the king's table, and if I got hungry, I could call a servant and they'd bring me bread. But he's looking around and he said, this cave is all I got. And before you know it, I'm going to need shelter. And before you know it, I'm going to need food. He said, I don't know how I'm going to survive. You know what he encouraged himself in? He said, Lord, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You know what he knew? He knew that God would take care of him. He knew that God would take care of him. And we worry and we fret and we wring our hands and we have bad attitudes about problems and issues that we have no control over. When the child of God needs to remember that God will take care of you. In every way, through all the day, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Isn't He faithful? I want you to know something. If you're brokenhearted and worried, distressed and afraid, and maybe even like David, you feel like, I'm in a cold, dark cave and no man cares for my soul. I pray by the Spirit of God that you'll be reminded this morning that God is faithful. God is faithful. If you put your trust in Him, He will never fail you. He will never fail you. Look what the conclusion of this is. Verse number 6. The Bible says, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. This is his prayer. And then this is his resolve. Look what he said. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. If you read the story, it's not long until David receives help from some friends that God had put in his heart. God had put in their hearts to help him. He's compassed about by friends, and before you know it, he's back on track. Before you know it, things are going okay. But praise the Lord, he never lost the faith. And I want you to know something. I say this all the time. It gets on some people's nerves. It's profound, I'm telling you. Brace yourself for my genius. I'm just kidding. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Tell me why God is on the throne and He loves His people. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And remember, when no man cares for your soul, God will hear your prayer. When no man cares for your soul, God will know your path. And when it seems like no man cares for your soul, God Himself will be your place and your portion. Isn't He a wonderful Savior? And all God's people said, Amen.